Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it is our purpose to speak only those things found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, let us hear from you. You can contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. This morning at 9:30, the East Abbotville Church of Christ will come together for a period of Bible study at 5 o'clock this evening, and also 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening. We urge you to come and to be present, bring your Bibles, and study with us God's Word. If it's at all impossible for you to be able to come to the building, we urge you to keep in mind that if you log on to eastalbertville.org at those times, you can both see and hear either the Bible study or the worship period. So keep these in mind. And also today, this evening at 8 o'clock, on this radio station, WBSA, Pat Donahue will conduct Bible Crossfire, a live call-in radio program. You can call in your Bible question. He'll give you his phone number. You can speak directly to him and give him your Bible question, and in return, expect only a Bible answer. If you're incapable of being able to pick up WBSA at 8 o'clock and have satellite radio capability, tune your radio to channel 131 on satellite Sirius XM radio at 8 o'clock. Please keep these things in mind. We urge you to do so. In a previous lesson, we defined the work of the church as being threefold. Evangelism, that is, the teaching of the gospel. Edification, that is, the spiritual strengthening and building up of those who are Christians. And the work of benevolence, in seeing to the destitute need of needy Christians. We can conclude that any other activities are unauthorized and therefore sinful, because these are the only three works that we can read about in the New Testament that Christ gave authority for the church to engage in. And that's what we see in every example of churches doing work. It was either in the area of one of these three areas. And yet there's been much strife and division that has resulted due to those that are not willing to abide within the authorized work of the church. And yet, another important consideration concerns the question of how the church does this God-given authorized work. Again, division has resulted when man has failed to follow the Bible pattern. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about, first of all, evangelism. Each Christian, we know, has a responsibility to teach. In Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." And we see when the persecution against Christians arose in Jerusalem, that those individual Christians in Acts 8 and verse 4 that were scattered as a result of the persecution went everywhere preaching the word. The local church, too, may financially support a gospel preacher. This we see in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Notice what we read in verse 14. "Even so, the Lord has commanded that those that preach the gospel should live from the gospel." In fact, we see that a congregation may support a man while he preaches to another church, another congregation, in another location. In the book of Philippians, notice what we read in chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And later, in this same letter, notice what we have in chapter 4. In chapter 4, beginning our reading with verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am poor, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing unto God. Two, we see several congregations may send support to the same man as he labors in the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 8, Paul said, I have robbed other churches, taken wages of them to do you service. So see, notice that the pattern involves each church sending directly to the preacher. Therefore, there's no middleman, there is no sponsoring church, there is no human institution. But we see that some violations of this work of the church include missionary societies. That is a human institution. This is an unauthorized organization doing the church's work. It reflects on the all-sufficiency that God designed for the church to be able to do. In Ephesians chapter 3, notice what we read in verses 10 and 11, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church, and it does its work, is in reality manifesting the wisdom of God. But if it's not doing the things that God has assigned it to do, it's not manifesting God's wisdom, it's manifesting man, human wisdom. So, again, to go contrary to what God has assigned the work of the church to do in evangelism, and to give that work to a human institution, is to reflect on this all-sufficiency of God's design for the church, and it's an addition to the Scriptures. And we're warned in Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, neither to add to nor to take from what the Scriptures teach. And then another violation of the work of the church in the realm of evangelism is the sponsoring church arrangement. The sponsoring church assumes an oversight that's not allowed by God. The oversight of the church God has clearly placed into the hands of those who are elders. In 1 Peter chapter 5, in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. What Peter is talking about here is what he said in verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. So then he describes them as to the work that they do, to shepherd the flock of God, oversee, but don't do it by compulsion, don't do it for dishonest gain. So the sponsoring church, however, assumes the oversight that clearly God intends to belong to the elders of the church. Two, the supporting churches forsake a part of the oversight that God has assigned to them. See, this is the first step toward an unscriptural and denominational church government. It just simply cannot be found in the New Testament whatsoever. Now let's turn our attention to the work that God has assigned the church in the area of edification. And again, let's remember, edification involves things that promote spiritual growth. Edification, spiritual growth, is not accomplished by social recreation, by parties, or by food. Rather, it's by what Peter describes in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 as the sincere milk of the word. The church is fully capable of accomplishing the work that God intended in this realm, just as he fully made the church capable of accomplishing the work of evangelism that we just looked at. God has provided things that are necessary, as Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16 says, for the edifying of the body. So it is, then, that elders are to feed the flock. We read that just a moment ago in 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. And 2, when Paul was speaking with the elders that had come from Ephesus in Acts 20, notice what he says to them in verse 28. Therefore take heed to yourself and to all of the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So there is to feed the flock of God. So we see then that when it comes to violations in this work of edification, we see churches in the recreation business, we see churches providing common meals, and yet 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 34 clearly addresses the matter of a common meal. And what 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 34 says, if any man hunger, let him eat at home. There's a place for common meals, and that's in the home, a part of individual Christian responsibility. But when it comes to the church has not been saddled with that work or that responsibility of providing social meals. Then, too, the violation of this work of edification is in the Sunday school organization with their superintendents and their separate treasuries. And then there are the Christian colleges that many churches include in the church's financial budget, either on a monthly or a quarterly or a yearly basis. These are violations of this work of edification. But then when we look at the work that God has assigned the church in the realm of benevolence, we need to remember the church's role in benevolence is limited. The church has authority only for relieving needy saints, needy Christians. Individual Christians, they're obligated, as Galatians 6 and verse 10 teaches, to do good unto all men. So our individual responsibility as a person, as a Christian, is not limited. We're to do good unto all men. But the church, if we remain under the headship of Christ, if we abide only in the doctrine of Christ, the church has only been given authority for benevolence when it comes to those who are needy Christians. And what we see in the scriptures is that the local church cared for its own needy. Look with me in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 2, notice what we read in verses 44 and in verse 45. He says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Those who believed are the ones that are in consideration in these verses. So when it says that they sold their goods and divided them among all is all who believed, as verse 44 teaches. Then when we go a little further in the book of Acts, now to chapter 4, notice what we read here in verse, beginning with verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things that he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there any among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need. When we go a little further, another couple of chapters in the book of Acts, to Acts chapter 6. Notice here in verse 1, beginning. Now in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned a multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. So in here, what we see is the local church, particularly here in Acts 2, Acts 4, and Acts 6, we're dealing with the church in Jerusalem. The local church cared for its own needy. And what we find, too, in each New Testament example, the church provided that which was necessary. Again, there was no middleman, no middleman in the form of some separate organization that was brought into play. That's not what we read in Acts chapter 6. The apostle simply appointed 7 men to take care of the work of seeing to that the widows were taken care of. Not an organization. These 7 men didn't form a board of directors over some organization. Simply, the church at Jerusalem was doing its work in providing benevolence to those who were Christians. So it is then that one church, we find also, may scripturally send assistance or funds to several other churches in order to relieve those that are needy saints. This we see the example of in the 11th chapter of the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 11, let's begin our reading with verse 27. "And in these days prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them named Agabus stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all of the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." So here we see one church, that is, the church at Antioch, scripturally assisting, sending funds to churches that were in Judea. This is no longer exclusively the church at Jerusalem. This is Judea, that area that Jerusalem was located in, but it was a much larger area. And by Acts chapter 11, now there is more than just the one church that's been established. Only the church at Jerusalem we read about in Acts 2, 4, and 6. But now, as a result of persecution, the gospel has been preached. People have been scattered. They went everywhere preaching the word, and now churches have sprung up in the region of Judea. And so when word came that there was a great famine, then the brethren in Antioch determined to send relief unto those that dwelt in Judea. And it is brethren, because that's clearly what verse 29 says. "Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. Again, we see that what the churches were doing in sending benevolence and in making benevolence a part of their work, it was limited. It was limited to Christians. It was limited to brethren. In the New Testament, the assistance that was sent directly to the church and not to, again, some sponsoring church or to some other institution, human institution. Not at all. Notice what we read there in Acts 11, verse 30. In determining to send relief to the brethren that dwelt in Judea, verse 30 says, this they also did, and sent it to the benevolent society. No. This they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Barnabas and Saul, an organization? No. Barnabas and Saul simply carried the money from Antioch to the elders in the region of Judea. Not a sponsoring church, not some kind of a benevolent organization. Simply the church sufficient to do its own work in sending relief in the form of benevolence to those that were Christians in other places. Many churches may send to one church to relieve needy Christians. We see the example of this in 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter. In verses 1, 2, and 3, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay by something, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you approve of your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. When we go over into the second letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, let's go over to 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Notice as we start our reading in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord, and then to us by the will of God. We see it again in the next chapter, 2 Corinthians 9. Notice what we read here, beginning with verse 1. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it's superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boasted of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Even when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, let's look at one other one. In Romans chapter 15, notice what we read starting with verse 25. And I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints, for it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are their debtors. So we see then that in all of this, many churches sent to one church to relieve those that were not just needy, but they were needy saints. The churches that helped, again, sent their aid directly to the church that was in need. Friends, violation of this pattern are committed when men depart from God's pattern that we find set forth in these New Testament examples. And these New Testament examples, without exception, shows that the church, as a collective, is responsible for benevolence only to those who are fellow Christians. But the church is not a Red Cross organization. It is an organization that was instituted by our Lord. He built it. He purchased it with his own blood. He is the Savior of it, and he is to be the head of it. And it is to manifest the wisdom of God in all that it does. If we do not abide by the pattern that we read about in the New Testament concerning its work of evangelism, its work of edification, and its work of benevolence, it's not manifesting the wisdom of God. It's only showing forth the wisdom of man. Friend, Christ did not die for a church. He did not purchase with his blood a church that was to be run on the basis of human wisdom. As the head, he has given instruction. We have the pattern. It's in our New Testament. We must just simply adhere to the pattern. Now I realize that there are some that may contend that we're being too picky in our commitment to observing these things. But friends, if it's in the Scriptures, who can be so bold as to say that it doesn't matter? You see, the real question is, will we truly speak what the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent? As I leave you with the lesson today, I want to leave you with a couple of verses of Scripture. One of those is found in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those that preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Philippians chapter 4, beginning our reading with verse 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities. And one final one, Romans chapter 15. Let's read verse 26. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. As our time draws near, keep in mind the services at the East Albable Church of Christ this morning at 9:30 for the Bible study, 10:30 for the worship period, this evening at 5 o'clock, also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock for Bible study. Tonight at 8 o'clock, Pat Donahue will present Crossfire, a Bible call-in radio program, a live program that you can call in your Bible questions. That's tonight at 8 o'clock, and if you're incapable of getting this radio station, then if you have satellite radio, tune to channel 131 on Sirius XM. If you're completely incapable of coming to the services, log on to eastalbertville.org at the times that we've mentioned, and you can both see and hear the Bible classes as well as the worship period. You can also do the same on Facebook and also on the church's YouTube channel. Keep this in mind. We see your time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastalbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.